morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. As you know, we are interviewing potential candidates, or candidates, actually, for openings on both the school committee and the city council. I have with me today, and I'm going to have her introduce herself and tell you all about herself. First, let me just say this. I can't thank you enough for running, Sarah. And good luck. Thank you for running it. Is this your first time in elected office?
Yes, it would be. Unless I was in high school.
When I was in high school, my classmate was Methuselah. So there you go. The other kids were Plato and Aristotle. I couldn't deal with them. But again, thank you so much for running, and good luck to you. And I mean that sincerely. So introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your background.
Sure. So my name is Sarah Mule. I am a mom of four children, and I am an educator in early childhood education. I'm also a director of a nursery school, the Austin Riggs Nursery School in Stockbridge.
Okay.
And I'm part of the board of directors for the Berkshire County Head Start program in Pittsfield. I worked there for 11 years as a family advocate and an education supervisor before moving into my director position. And I've worked in early childhood education up and down Berkshire County. So North County, South County, Pittsfield. Yeah. So basically that's my background. I have a master's of education in educational leadership and policy from Boston College.
Wow.
That's a recent degree that I was able to earn a couple of years ago during COVID. So, yes. But my education before that, I am a graduate of Berkshire Community College. I'm also a graduate of MCLA. So,
good.
yeah.
And I will tell you, as a graduate of Berkshire Community College, I'm very proud of that.
Absolutely.
You
Yep.
know, I am. I'm a big supporter of BCC.
Me
So
too.
I guess, why did you throw yourself in the ring here?
So, I've had a lot of experience in education,
Yeah.
And early childhood is my, that's where I live, basically.
Yeah.
But I also have had experience. I worked as an AmeriCorps Promise Fellow for 2 years,
Oh.
and I was actually at Conte Community School.
Oh, cool.
So from 1999 to 2001, I was the AmeriCorps Promise Fellow there. And I revived the family center there. And I was partnered with a wonderful woman named Yvonne Rivas, who was the Spanish speaking liaison for families there. And she and I ran the family center. And we started a parent leadership group. And we worked directly with the teachers and staff and children that were at the program. I also helped run the Strategies for Success after school program there. And that was actually the same year, the first year that I worked there was the same year that that Joe was teaching at Conte Community School as a third grade teacher. So he and I worked together for a little bit as well. So I've also been part of different committees in the past as a parent, as well as a former staff member and a person that just is interested in education. As I said, I have four children, so they all have attended Pittsfield Public Schools programming. I have one that's still in middle school at Reed.
Wow.
I also am a lifelong resident of Pittsfield and attended all Pittsfield Public Schools. So I was at Morningside. I actually was at Crane School for
Wow.
kindergarten. Then I, so for kindergarten, and then they closed and I went to Morningside and then Reed Middle School and Pittsfield High School.
Well, that, again, you certainly have the qualifications, that's for sure.
Thank you.
In some of the places you mentioned, brings back fond memories to me when my wife taught there when it was Westside Community School. When they
Oh, sure. Yes.
So why did you Throw your hat in the ring.
So I actually, so the my most recent experience that I had was I was actually part of the restructuring committee that
Okay.
took place where we talked about, throwing in ideas about what do we think would be best for middle school students. And being a part of that group and spending so many hours just together with people who had wonderful ideas, and we worked really hard together to come up with some action plans to move forward with restructuring, because I think all of us knew that something needed to happen
Yes.
for students. And unfortunately, with COVID having still been lingering around and really was harmful for students, I think we just needed to do something. So taking action and being a part of that was really motivating for me. And I just figured, wouldn't I like to see this through? This is a project I worked on. I would love to see it through. I have some more time on my hands because my three oldest children are no longer living at home with us. And so I just felt like it was time to start looking into other things that I could do to help the community. I grew up going to the Catholic Youth Center,
Me too.
and I was part of the service society there. Actually, Heather McNeese and I, who's also running,
Yeah.
she and I were both part of the service society at the same time with
Wow.
one of my siblings. And so it was a really wonderful place to learn about service above self. And really, how to be a part of a community and serve your community. And so that's always been important to me.
It
So
breaks my
this is
heart.
just a way to do
It breaks my heart to see it gone.
it. I know. Yeah, it
It
was sad.
was very sad. I drove by as the steam shovel was there tearing it down, and
Yeah, a lot of great memories there in that building.
I mean, we grew up
Yeah.
there, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So you got a great background, and you're still in the field. I also just to kind of tweak a little bit. We have known for a while that middle schools were not working. And you're now on the committee that kind of come up with a solution or a new plan. I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
But you know, the whole team there that did it, because you can see the pushback already, you know. I think it's time we tried something new, and just I'm not an educator, but I lived with one. But no, but really and truly, when I hear kids, the difficulties they're having in middle school and leaving the district, and it is what it is. But I applaud you for that. Thank you for
Thank
doing.
you. Yeah. I think, in the middle school itself, a middle school has always been hard for everyone, right? It's a hard time in life for kids that are those ages. And I think that we were trying to be solutions based and really come up with some good ideas, and not just about moving kids in different places, but also about curriculum. What is our attitude toward curriculum? Why are families leaving the district? That was, one of the questions that we had. So a lot of surveys went out to families, a lot of surveys went out to staff. Even the kids were surveyed about what they felt and believed about school. And so it was really interesting to read a lot of the feedback that came. So I'm also a parent of children that left the district. So my daughter went to Bart Charter School in sixth grade. My son was there for seventh and eighth grade, my oldest two. And my daughter ended up staying there, and she graduated from Bart. And Bart is a really special school, and it's wonderful, and it really met her needs specifically. But my oldest son went back and went to Taconic. So it really is, it was a choice that I made at the time in that part of our lives that mattered to my children. And I think that that's, we have to be respectful of all parents that are in that position. But at the same time, what is it that drives that want for families to look somewhere else,
Yeah.
right? So that's the bigger question. And why are people leaving the district? And it's not because we don't have dedicated teachers and
No,
staff.
no.
We certainly have so many dedicated teachers and staff members in these schools in Pittsfield. I mean, it just going into the schools and seeing people working with the kids, it just really, it's a wonderful thing. Going to concerts at the schools. My youngest son is in the band at Reed Middle School, and I
Cool.
love going to those concerts because you're seeing the band, but you're also seeing the orchestra, you're seeing
That's it.
choir. Just amazing. And these kids
Yeah.
are thriving and they love it, and they love their teachers. And so, we need to celebrate that more, I think. And we need to figure out with the families, we really need to start involving families a lot more.
I don't disagree. I not to take your time, but I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and boy,
Yeah.
school jumped out as a plus or a real bad minus. And I think we need to address some of those areas. And I think you're right.
Yeah.
Glad to read is that I was in the Glee Club until the ninth grade when they asked
Yeah.
me not to be in it anymore because I couldn't sing. When it was more. But what do you feel, because you're an educator, what do you feel are the most challenging things facing our school district and our kiddos now?
I think that's a really great question. I think it's a multi-answer question. There's never just one thing.
No.
I think building back trust with families is huge because I do feel like people are feeling let down a little bit.
Yep.
I think that that is probably the most important, is to build back trust with families, but also involve families more in conversations as much as we can. Maybe even, try more engagement with families out in the neighborhoods and the communities. I think that's really important for them to see us face to face. I think that it's also really important for the respect that we have for the teaching staff and understanding how much their quality of, being their time in the classroom, their ability to do all their trainings, to do all of the professional development, but also to be able to work together as teams, to be able to really make sure that all of the kids are having their needs met in the classrooms. And how do we do that? Obviously, money is a big factor. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
But we're taking every penny we can get, and we're looking everywhere for it. And so I applaud the fact that they're going back to basics and making sure teachers feel well trained, they feel ready to be in the classrooms with children, and that hopefully we're going to start re-engaging families back into the school system and really inviting them in and
Yeah.
having them be a part of something.
Yeah, the walls keep the kids in but keep the others out. And I've often felt that the wall should just invite people in. That's just me. And like I said, I'm not an educator. But what you're saying makes a whole lot of sense, in my opinion, that the school system has a big responsibility. And I think the more, and I say this is nothing new, the more open they are, the more they let the light from outside shine inside and the light from inside shine outside, the
Yeah.
better off people are going to understand. One of
Right.
the things, and you've had four kiddos and you can still have one in school. And I'm going back to my old life, but attendance. What? In the middle schools and sometimes some of the other schools, attendance is difficult. To me, that's a parental thing. And I'm not
So,
putting down parents because I know there's some parents that are working two and three jobs just to make ends meet.
yeah, I think that that's part of it, right? Like really understanding families and really taking a step back and appreciating what's happening in the lives of these kiddos at home, as well as, what we can do to help them at school. So, we're doing really well with like making sure they have food to eat when they get to school, making sure they have, and it's all there. It's ready for them. And that those important relationships right at the beginning of the day, with the bus driver, with the staff that are meeting kids at the door, people who are greeting them in the lunch line. I don't know about you, Bill, but there are days when I go to work and I'm like, I didn't have the best morning maybe, at home. And so you have to really try to shake it off. And as adults, we've learned different ways and how to do that. And so, these kids are still learning how do I
That's right.
shake this off? Especially depending on like what does that look like? Were they alone in the morning when they had to get up and get ready to go? Were was it an older sibling that was helping them? Were they able to have clean clothes because maybe the washing machine broke? So it's really about understanding and having people there at the school that can meet with those kids and really meet them where they are to be able to help them re-engage into the classroom and feel okay about their day at school. Because it isn't always just about the math and the English and science. I don't want teachers to feel like they have to be social workers by any means. I don't think that's fair for teachers to have to feel that way. But I love the fact that we have school adjustment counselors in the schools. I think that those are really important people that kids can engage with. Families really need to know more about that. You also have to think about families that, English is not their home language,
That's right.
right? So if those kids are helping with translating at a doctor's visit that day for their mom or their dad or their grandmother, like maybe that's why they're not at school. And maybe the parents don't want to tell you that. So there's lots of reasons why people don't show up. And I think that it's important really to really be there for families in a way, in early childhood, it's all about family engagement. And I think we lose that when we get, further and further into school. Once your kid goes into sixth grade, it's like, and now I don't have to worry about them anymore. Well, actually, this is the time when you really do need to worry about them. You really do need to be engaging them in conversations. You need to be engaging with their teaching staff. You need to be engaging with the school. And I understand, again, I am a parent, but I also work full time, soccer and clubs and all the things, so I get it. It's hard to find the time to do it. But even if you can find a little bit of time, if you have time to go on Instagram, TikTok, whatever you're doing, you have time to send a quick email to the teacher to just say, hey, I hope that everything's going well in school for my kiddo. Because it's not just about that parent-teacher conference either.
No, and you brought out a lot of good points, and one of the other things now is the technology piece, and I'll have you back on again when you're not running for office. We can talk about education.
Sure.
So, in your opinion, and you addressed this already pretty well, getting transparency back into school and that I think that really does hit the nail on the head. Here's a question: if elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or committee chairperson?
I think that if I had the support of other people, I would be willing to give it a go. We're looking at an election of people where there's only one incumbent. So there people will have to step up and do the work.
Oh, yeah.
So if people support me in doing it, or if people are asking me, can you do this? And I would be willing to say yes. I would have to be willing to do that if I am running for office.
I think that's wonderful because I think, as we start a new school committee, really new school committee, and these are there's a lot of discussion and a lot going on from the past, but also trying to predict the future and see the future. And I take my hat off to all of you, and I mean that. I think it's going to be challenging, but I think if you work as a team, if you collaborate, and I think that would help you out a lot. You know, probably already know this, but I have to. Should you be elected, how many hours a week do you believe it will take you to perform your duties?
Well, meetings alone can go 4 hours, So I've been a part of a couple of them just as in the audience. And so, that they take quite a bit of time, but you also have to be able to do all of the research and the things that lead up to that. And if you're on a committee, you're also committing time for that. So it could be anywhere between 10 and 12 hours a week, maybe even more than that sometimes. It really depends on what are the things at hand in the moment that are happening. So, I know my husband is on the Parks Commission for the city of Pittsfield. Some days he's home and within an hour, some days he's gone for four, So
I
it's
watch
really
those
about
meetings.
what are the issues at hand. So
I watch those park commission meetings because a classmate of mine, Cliffy Nyland, is
I know Cliff. Yes.
he's we go back we Tenor Junior High.
No, my dad also. My father is Mark Mitchell,
I know.
the commissioner.
So listen, what do you think if you had to zero in, had to zero in on what two things, I'm just going to give you two things are urgently need to be addressed.
Well, it's, are the staff okay? How are the staff doing? How are they feeling? Is the new superintendent doing all right? What are the issues that she's noticing that are happening that she would need to bring urgently to school committee that we would really need to start addressing immediately? So really building that relationship with those people and making sure that we have a good hand, a good handle on what is happening right now and what needs to be addressed. If there's anything in the past that we need to kind of, get taken care of and get it off of the plate, let's take care of it and get it gone so that we can move forward.
And don't you think too that fresh eyes, you're going to have fresh eyes looking at it. And that's not to say the other people, but sometimes when you're embroiled in whatever, you can't see the forest through the trees because you're just trying to get to the next step. That's been my experience.
Sure. Well, as an educator, especially an early educator, you have to be quick on your feet. You have to be able to see some other things through the trees. It is about being able to manage multiple things at the same time. Multitasking and just being able to be just quick at whatever, if you have to pivot to focus on something else for that moment, then that's what you have to do. But you also have to make sure you go back to the other things that are all also as important. So.
And kids today, one last question about the school district. What is your feeling about cell phones? Kids being allowed to have their students, I'm sorry, being allowed to have their cell phones on their person all day and all night.
Bill, it's a very difficult question. That's a huge hot topic.
Oh, I know.
Everyone has their own opinion about it. Parents and teachers and staff alike. As far as my personal feelings, our older kids had phones at younger ages, and our 13-year-old didn't get a phone until he turned 13. So he had a flip phone, and then now he has a smartphone. And I find that the longer you can wait for them to have that, it's better for them. Having it at school, that's hard. I'm glad they started the bell to bell. I don't believe they should be allowed at school. That's my personal opinion.
You won't get an Hey.
I would like to hear other people's arguments about it. Some of the arguments I've already heard, I think, are silly. If I need to get a hold of somebody about my child, I can call the school. I have the phone number in my phone. Or I can look it up. So there, I don't feel like they need to have their phones at school. The only reason that I find is the reason that I hesitate with is children with school shootings.
I know.
Parents who make the argument that I want my child to have their phone, if there's a school shooting, if there's a school emergency, I want my child to be able to get a hold of me. That's the only one that gives me pause in my argument.
Yeah, and we go back, obviously I go back a lot longer than you do in school, but if mom and dad wanted to get a hold of you or you wanted to get a hold of them, you were sick or whatever. You went to the office or the nurse and you called home and somebody
Right.
came. It's the
That's
same.
right.
A lot of research now is coming about one of the books that I've read recently, Anxious Generation. I mean,
Yes.
they're for really control on the cell phones. And
Yeah.
as we go forward, I wish you the best of luck. You've got
Thank
about
you.
4 minutes to tell all the people out there why they should vote for you.
Well, I think because of my experience as an educator, my experience having four children, I also have a child with special needs, who was on an individualized education plan. So I'm very aware of all of the rights for children in that regard. I'm very clued up on that. I have a lot of great relationships with people in the public schools already. Many of the educators there are friends of mine from high school, or friends that I've made throughout the time that I've had my different relationships with the public schools. Being a family advocate at Head Start, I joined families for IEP meetings at public schools because we shared children with the public school, who needed services. So I was able to really build a lot of great relationships there. So I really hope that I can continue those relationships. I will anyway, regardless of whether people vote for me. But I do think because of my record and my experience, that it would be great to serve my community. That's my heart is with families and children and community. And so I really hope that that's helpful with for people to understand why I want to serve and why they should vote for me.
Well, you certainly are well versed and well rounded in the education field. I wish you that. First of all, I want to and thank you again for even running. And I mean that. The only way, as you know, democracy works is if we have people willing to run for office.
And let's hope it still keeps working that way.
Let's hope so. But the other piece is to good luck,
Thank
because
you.
The city right now, I think, is on a recovery path. I think that's safe to say. And I wish the school system, the city, the best of luck. And the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job in the early child. I call it preschool, early
That's
child.
okay.
Yeah, I got my.
Preschool is
Yeah,
part
well, I made that mistake in a person. It's no longer called that. I said, well,
It's okay.
I'm one of those old
It
guys.
is hard when things change, right? We do
Yeah.
all have to adjust and make those different adjustments for sure. So.
I'm one of those old dogs that has a hard time with new tricks. I want to thank you for coming on. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for all you do for the kiddos too. Sometimes we As my wife was a teacher for like 40, over 41 years, sometimes people forget that teaching is really a valuable but can be difficult at times because
Yeah.
it's.
And none of us do it for the money, Bill. We
No.
do it because we love children and we love what we do with them. And we love being a part of their education and the impact that we see lasts forever. So
God bless, and to all my remember, lift somebody up today. Don't put somebody down. You'll feel better and they will definitely feel better. Good luck.
I agree. Thanks, Bill.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm here today where, as you know, we're interviewing all the candidates who have gotten back to us. Now, I'll be candid. Some of them haven't. So pretty soon we've got to draw the line and just end this. But I have with me today Michael Grady, and he's running. Michael's running for Councilor Ward 5. It's Michael's first time. And first of all, Michael, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
And secondly, good luck.
Thank you.
And thank you for running, because that's what makes the system work. So we'll be interviewing Michael in just a moment. I say it, I know you're sick of hearing it, but please vote. These elections have a history of minor turnout, really shaky turnout. And this, in my opinion, this election concerns me more than the big national elections, because it's the school committee, it's the city council. So it's where my taxes go, what services I get. So think about that when you say, oh, I'm too busy. Because, and the other thing to think about, when you drive through the cemetery, all those flags underneath it, somebody at one point signed their name on a dotted line to die so that you could vote. So without further ado, foreguas, soup du jour, Michael Grady, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you, Bill?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm doing all right. Michael, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and your background and why you decided to run for public office.
Okay. Again, Michael Grady. I'm running for Ward 5 City Council. Born and raised in Pittsfield. Was a police officer for 28 years, retired 3 years ago with the rank of captain. My wife and I have been married for, next month will be 26 years. And I have two adult children. I have a 24-year-old daughter who moved away about 3 years ago. She decided Pittsfield wasn't for her.
Yeah.
And she went to Florida. I have a son that is a senior at UMass, and he's accepted a job back in the area when he graduates, so he'll be coming back here.
That's wonderful. And why did you decide to run? I mean, you know, being a police officer, what it's like being in the public arena.
I do. And I a little bit more about myself. So my wife and I made a decision, got a little over a year ago to downsize. With both kids out of the house, there was no need for the big house anymore. I lived most of my adult life in Ward 3. We downsized. We bought a condominium in the old Pomeroy School.
Oh, cool.
And my wife and I do a lot of walking. We have three or four different routes we take from the condo. One of those routes takes us, down North Street to the hospital and back. And we're doing that route at some point in April, March, April, May, in that ballpark. We were walking there, and I couldn't believe the state of downtown. I mean, once you hit West Housatonic Street, you start hitting the nip bottles and the cigarette butts. You get on North Street, it was the nip bottles, the cigarette butts. Stumbled across a few syringes. You couldn't walk any long stretch without someone asking you for money or a cigarette. And I know, I mean, I've been retired for 3 years, but I still recognize more than half the people out there on North Street. In my 28 years as a police officer, I was fortunate enough to work a lot of different jobs for the police department: patrolman, narcotics investigator, patrol sergeant, detective lieutenant, patrol lieutenant, and like I said, I retired as a captain. So I've seen the best of Pittsfield, I've seen the worst of Pittsfield, and North Street is starting to look like the worst of Pittsfield. It's supposed to be our downtown, is supposed to be our pride and joy, and it is far from that right now.
As an old operative word, old police officer, I sense your frustration. I left Pittsfield a long time ago, but I North Street was the pride and joy at that point. And you're right. And I guess everybody's trying to do something. It's just it's nothing is quick today and nothing is easy. So again, this kind of in the same line, what talents or experience will you bring to this position should you
Well,
be elected?
the big thing is one of the traits I learned as a police officer, you got to get back to people. If people want help, the most important thing you can do is follow up with them, whether it be a phone call, whether it be an email, whether it be in person, but follow up is crucial. You have to follow up with people. People, if a concern seems my, a concern that you believe may be minor, may be major to them. And they pay taxes like I do. They pay taxes like you do. If they've got a question, concern, they have every right to ask, and they have every right to get an answer. And that's sort of the focus that I would be in. I've been out in the neighborhoods the last 4 to 6 weeks. We're out walking and talking to people, and Ward 5, the issues are it's traffic, the speed concerns, like I talked about a little bit in another interview I did, and on my social media. E-bikes are a concern with people weaving in out of
Oh,
traffic.
God, yes.
It's I did a little follow-up with the traffic investigators at the police department. This is more of the state needs to do something to
Yes.
get the ball rolling. But I understand their concerns. And like I said, I can't stress enough. It's just the you got to get if someone's got a problem, you need to get back to them. That's it.
See, I think, if I may, both of us at points in our lives, we were public servants.
Yes.
And I think that is one thing that I learned from the old chiefs. You get a phone call, you call that person back. I don't care, and I care, I won't tell you the chief said, I don't care if you hate him. Your job is to call him back. So that's to me is a person who hits the deck with that's a real plus. Because
Yeah, it's not hard. It's as simple as picking up a phone. It's as simple as an email. It really isn't difficult. It shouldn't be difficult. I've been frustrated over the last couple of years. I had to call a couple of people, and you're waiting a week, you're waiting 2 weeks for a call back about an issue in your neighborhood, and it's frustrating. I was frustrated, so I can see how other people feel. And my issue, I didn't think was that big of a deal, but again, it's that. I was the police officer in the neighborhood, so the other people came to me with concerns about something that was going on in the neighborhood, and I was retired at the time, but they still considered me the police officer in the neighborhood. So, I did some follow-up, some phone calls, and it does get frustrating when you're waiting a week or two. And I do understand people are busy, but again, as simple as an email, hey, I've got your concern, I'll get back to you shortly. Same thing, same with a phone call. That's all you have to do.
And I think people today expect it and deserve it. That's just me.
Yeah, and okay, we pay our fair share of taxes. A return phone call from whether it be the police department, the health department, the fire department, anywhere, city hall, that's the least of what we can do.
And how, and I'm going to let you answer this. I could answer it for you, but I'm not running. No. Somebody asked me, why don't you run for this? And I said, at my age, I don't run for things, I run from things. So, but how do you believe that you can contribute to the council
I think
all the time you need?
no, it's fair. It's a fairly simple and straightforward answer. Common sense. I've been watching the council meetings. I think some of them are out of touch with what is going on in the city. A couple of meetings ago, I heard a councilor say, well, 1 million here or 2 million there, like it was monopoly money. Kind of frustrating. And then this whole thing last week, the last council meeting with the bathrooms, all you have to do is go up there and take a look and see what's going on. It's not rocket science. I could spend a half an hour talking about this, but it is as simple as common sense.
And again, you have, I forgot the exact amount of years, a public service. So, I mean, that's something just because you retire, you never, and I find myself, and I've been retired a lot longer than you have, I still find myself, the cop in me looking at that car doesn't look right or what, I think your answers have been good so far, really good. If you were elected, are elected, or would you be willing to serve as an officer or a committee chair?
Whatever they want me to do. As we spoke a little bit off air, Bill, we need to do better. My son is coming back here. I want him to come back to something. It's it's really as simple as that. You know what I'm It's as simple as that. I had 28 years of dedicated service to the police department. I love this community. I was born and raised here. I'm not This is home. Pittsfield's my home. Pittsfield's our home, and we have to do better.
That's and when you say that, how do you mean do better? Because I think that people would want to know that.
Well, again, it goes back to, I'll go back to North Street. Even though most of what happening isn't happening in Ward 5, and if I'd won, I would be the Ward 5 counselor, so I would be focusing on the Ward 5 issues. But with that being said, as I stated earlier, North Street, the pride and joy of Pittsfield, we need to start there. And it's not that I would be disregarding the other businesses with Allendale Crossing or Elm Street, the other areas of town where there's businesses. I know what the business is paying taxes. They deserve better from us.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And I pose this as a question to you. If we don't nip it in the bud, you and I have seen it spread. So,
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I have seen it when I was on go from North Street starting to get a little shaky. All of a sudden, Tyler Street was getting a little shaky, and
Yes.
we had to beef up stuff on go back to an old walking beat, believe it or not.
Yes.
So that's another. That's another issue, I think, that why the refocusing on North Street that everyone is doing, I think, is very helpful.
Yes. And it's I'm glad you said walking beats, because that seems to be a hot topic during the season and during just the last few years. And I know there's staffing issues at the police department. I realize that. But I will say there was a time when I was a patrol officer, 20 plus years ago, and I worked midnights and I had worked the day shift. We figured out ways to get people up on North Street, whether it was in 1 hour blocks, whether it was in 2 hour blocks. You parked your car, you walked around, and you were seen. And it's not that hard. And I realize there'll be days where it'll be busy and you can't do that.
Right.
But when there's days where you can squeeze someone up there, it's something that has to get refocused on.
Yes, you won't get an argument from me. Here's a question I've asked a lot of both sitting councilors and newbie. What's your take on civil service?
I'm going to preface this with I was president of the police union for several years. I was an executive board member of the patrol officers union and the supervisors union for most of my career at the police department.
Okay.
So, civil service has changed so much just in the last 30 years. And talking, as I was getting ready to head out the door, there was so few people signing up to take the test from this area, and I believe it's gotten even worse.
I believe so.
It's one of those things I believe that the city and the union could sit down and probably hammer something out. They could probably, I'm not speaking for the union. Like I
No.
said, I worked hard for the union. I respect for what those guys have to do when they run the union, but I think it's something that they may even agree with me with and want to work something out at some point because they realize that we need help. I mean, they're begging for transfers at this
Yeah.
point. So, yeah.
They're begging for transfers, but they got to compete with salaries. So it's a
Yeah.
that's kind of a double-headed sword.
They've done well in their
Oh, then
last
that's not,
contract,
yeah.
so their salary shouldn't be an issue at this point.
Okay.
I think salaries have sort of, the tide has swung a little bit on the salary. So,
Good. Good,
yeah.
because that was always one of the issues in the past.
Yes.
I
Yes.
mean, you know, and I know there were town cops making more than us.
Yeah, Bill, in the late 90s, early 2000s, we went a couple of years with zeros. So I understand. I had, a one or a two was a big deal. And
Yeah.
but you understood the situation the city was in. I
That's
mean,
exactly right.
the city was in financial problems, so we suffered financial problems.
And I have to say this, it has nothing to do with your right, but I don't know of anybody in the police department who left to go somewhere else for more money. Now, you might, I don't.
I do, yes.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, there's a handful of guys that left at some point, because hey,
Yeah, you
you
gotta
got a
feed your
family, you
family.
got to feed your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one other thing about that, I think today with civil service, that's part of this department, and it's an excellent department. It for what they do with the people that they have, the staffing is amazing.
Yes.
But it's gonna get worse, Mike. It's gonna get worse. They're more in the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be a whole lot of people retiring.
Yes, I know because there's a handful of guys that I mean, I left a little bit early, but there's a handful of guys that I went to the academy with or the class behind me and the class behind that. They're all approaching that 31,
Yeah.
30, 31, 32, 33 years of service, and it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope that the men and women of the police and fire department say, you know what? And I often breaks my heart to see the chiefs get called up and raked over the coals for their overtime budgets. Well, what are they going to do? You got to have so many people on the street.
Yeah, managing staffing can be
Well, you
extremely
know.
difficult. I know. I mean, at the end of my career, I was in charge of all the special events, and just trying to staff that to keep people safe can be difficult, And yeah, staffing is going to be an issue that at some point you don't want it to come back and bite you, but it may because we've got to get there.
Yep. And it just takes too long to fill a vacancy. Just way too long.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what do you believe are specific urgent concerns facing the city over the next 2 years?
Well, first and foremost, it's what I'm hearing most when I've been out campaigning is, and it's not just all senior citizens,
no.
You know, the property taxes and the water and sewer rates. And it's, you know, that's what's a little frustrating to me about the whole, we'll spend millions on the homeless downtown. We've got people that, you know, have worked their whole lives, have their home, and they're trying to figure out this winter how they're going to heat it because what they're paying in property tax and what they're paying in water and sewer rates. And, you know, a little more focus needs to go on that. I know the city has some programs, but some people aren't comfortable doing the programs, or they can't do the program, you know, due to health or due to other things. And that's like the number one thing when I'm talking to people is, you know, they're concerned, or you'll talk to younger people and their concern is their parents being able to stay in their home with the property taxes and the water and sewer. And it's a conversation my brother and I have about my mother. So, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you concerned about it, a big concern.
Yeah.
That would be the number one concern.
Okay. And it is true. Speaking as an older person, as a senior at my staff, I went from introductory senior to mid-stage senior now. But we're looking at that downsizing, but we don't want to move, but we also can't afford a mortgage payment to get an apartment.
No, I know. I was fortunate. Full disclosure, I had a little health hiccup, so I retired a little early. I figured that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough that my wife has a good job and is still working. So the decision to downsize just made it a little easier for us.
Sure.
And, but that's, you're right. It's easy to sell your house in this market. It's not easy to find something in this market. That's the issue. That's the big issue.
Should you be elected, how many hours a week do you believe you can dedicate to this job?
Well, since I'm retired, as many hours as needed. I mean, I would attempt to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And whether that was 15 hours or 30 hours a week, it so be it. You know, I'm in it to win it, Bill. I don't want to use the word I want to use. I don't have to do anything. It's
right.
I'm in or I'm out. There's no middle ground. So if I'm in, I'm jumping both feet in.
Yeah.
And I'm off to the races with it.
And I thank you for that. As I said at the top of the show, all the candidates, I thank all the candidates, those that have been in office, those that are running for office, because the system doesn't work if we don't have people in office. And what you're bringing into my thought pattern is you're bringing a lot of real life experience on probably a side of Pittsfield that most other counselors haven't seen.
You know, and it's, I think it's a good trait. I know there'll be some people that will disagree. They're not fans of the police, but I dedicated my whole adult life to this profession, and I'm proud of what I did. And I'm proud of the work that the men and the women in the police department are still doing. And I'm proud of the work that we did in the past. So it's, yes, I think I would bring a different voice. I mean, and I just want to backtrack a little bit because you brought something up earlier that I think is so important. We can't spend enough time on it, is people have to vote. 10% turnout doesn't cut it. 15% turnout doesn't cut it. If you want real change, you have to get out and vote. I can't. That's what you're going to hear me say that nonstop for the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, because if you don't vote, you can't change, you know, and no disrespect to anyone that's running unopposed. No one should run unopposed. You know, it's good to have opposing viewpoints. It's good to hear a different. I know in this day and age, that's not what people want to hear. Opposing viewpoints are good. You know, it's good to have disagreement. It's good to have argument a little bit, as long as it's decent. It's good, you know, and I think that gets lost sometimes. I go back to, I mean, I watched that last council meeting and just the whole talk about sanitation stations and restrooms. I just don't, all you have to do is spend a half an hour down there and you'll see that that's not going to work. It's like throwing good money after bad, you know, and we're worried, like I said, worried about the senior citizens, but we'll have no problem just throwing good money after bad, you know, and it's frustrating to me. It's one of the reasons why I'm running.
Well, and I think, again, I don't want to belabor this point, but with my experience in the area, we have seen things walking the beat on North Street on the midnight shift. I saw homeless people 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Not to the extent we have now.
Yeah.
And they would give anything to talk, if you would talk to them for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And someday when I see in person, I'll tell you about one of the old sergeants told me when he saw me talking to like four or five of them. One of the old World War II guys, very sensitive soul.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Listen, you got about 4 minutes. Why should people get out and vote for Mike Grady?
I just think the city's due for change. We don't... Like I said, no disrespect to the counselors, but I don't think anything's really gotten done the last couple of years, especially regarding the homeless. I've been doing a little research. Looking back, we've been kicking this can down the road for years now. You know, we're 3, 4, 5, 6 years dealing with this. And I know COVID played a part in that, but I'll be honest with you. People are sick of talking about COVID. They don't want to hear that COVID, you know, they're done with that.
The COVID excuse.
Yeah, the COVID excuse is gone. It's done. They don't want to hear it anymore. They want to see, they want safe streets. They want safe schools. They want good roads. And they want streetlights on if they're not working. I mean, they're looking for our leaders to create a stronger, safer, and healthier community. And I think I can do that.
And I think one of the things you said early on, if and I may pick up on it before we go, I liked what you said. You talked this over with your wife, and your wife's on the campaign trail. That, to me, that's a big deal because we know how demanding this can be, and without having that kind of backup support can be a long 2 years.
I wouldn't have done it without her support. You know, we both... Yeah. My wife has served this community for over 35 years. She's been a nurse for 25. Wow. She's worked at Berkshire Health for 35.
Wow.
35 years. So we know what it's like to give to the community. You know, I mean, hell, I coached basketball 15, 16, 17, 18 years at the old CYC. You know, I coached Little League Baseball. I know what it takes to give to this community. I want to give a little more. It is, you know, like I said, the big thing is, my son is coming back. I want to have something for him to come back to.
Yeah, that in itself is a great motivational reason.
Yes.
To bring our kiddos back. I could have retired, my wife and I, we could have retired anywhere in the world, actually. I know that sounds pompous, but I mean, I have friends that still want me to move to the Philippines.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to do this, and you are doing it. Again, I thank you. I thank you. Make sure you tell your wife.
Thank you. No, Bill, and I appreciate you giving me the time to tell my story. So,
well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
I really and truly do. And thank you again for running. And folks, again, you know my motto, don't vote, don't gripe, because you don't have a right to. You really don't have a right to. You don't vote, you don't gripe, because you can elect the people who you think are doing a good job or new people who want to do a good job, as Mr. Grady has. But you got to get to the polls. And if you can't get to them, you're not really trying.
Yes.
You...
So again, vote November 4th. Turnout is important.
I wish you good luck, my friend, and
Thank you.
enjoy your retirement. You have certainly earned it.
Thank you very much, Bill.
You're right. Bye-bye.